You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The millions of Americans who've lost their jobs in recent weeks will likely lose their health insurance as well. The Economic Policy Institute, it published numbers earlier this month. It said in mid-April, they estimated that more than 9 million workers were at high risk of losing their employer-provided health insurance in the past 4 weeks. Have you recently lost yours? What questions do you have for our health insurance experts? We're at 800-642-1234. Sabrina Corlette is a research professor at the Center on Health Insurance Reforms at Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. Sabrina, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
And we have Bobby Peterson here as well, executive director of ABC for Health. That's a nonprofit law firm in Wisconsin connecting families with healthcare. Bobby, welcome back to you. Hey, Bobby, can you hear us?
Yes.
Great. So let's start with you. Governor Evers says that people who have lost their health insurance may be able to enroll in Badger Care. That's the health care coverage program for low-income Wisconsinites, or on healthcare.gov. Explain who qualifies for these programs.
Well, I mean, it's important to for people to understand out there that there are options out there for people. Badger Care Plus is a program that's for children and for parents that have, you know, that are low to moderate income, I think, at some point. It's a program that provides comprehensive coverage. So if you're in a situation where you're working, you've lost your job, your income has dropped to next to nothing, and even if it's, you know, you're working part-time or limited, Badger Care Plus is a good option to consider. If you and perhaps a partner or spouse are working and one of them is working and you're making a little bit more income, you might consider the Marketplace. It's another coverage option that's available. It has advanced premium tax credits, and it also can provide, you know, networks that you might be familiar with or being served by now. So there's a number of options to consider. It's different for every person out there. That's, you know, one of the complicating factors, because a lot of it's based on your income, based on your taxable income, so it might include other sources of income besides just your job. But it's a good option to look into, and it can provide an important cushion between when you've lost your job until you get back to work again.
And Sabrina, there's a 60-day special enrollment period for healthcare.gov. Can you explain what that means for people if they are shopping on healthcare.gov?
Sure. So if you've lost your insurance that you get through your job, you have 60 days from that loss to go to healthcare.gov and shop for a plan and find out if you might be eligible for those premium tax credits. You may have to show documentation that you lost your job-based coverage just to prove that you're eligible. But you go to healthcare.gov and there's an application that'll just sort of walk you through it.
So you basically walk through it that way. If you've been furloughed, Sabrina, are you still eligible for those program for the health insurance available in the Marketplace on healthcare.gov?
Well, if your employer has furloughed you and is still paying your benefits for your employer plan, the answer is no. You are not eligible for the premium tax credits through the Marketplace or through a special enrollment opportunity, because you still technically have your job-based coverage, or at least have it available to you.
Bobby, if you're not sure what you qualify for, what resources can people turn to here in Wisconsin?
Sure. I think a good place to contact is Covering Wisconsin. They've got some statewide services for people to work through Marketplace issues.
That's coveringwi.org, is that right?
Correct. Yeah. And the number is 608-261-1455. They can give you some help in navigating the Marketplace. One of the things about the Marketplace, if your income is below what eligibility for the Marketplace, they can refer you over to Badger Care Plus, and so there's options to get referrals that way as well.
We're talking with Bobby Peterson, Executive Director of ABC for Health. Sabrina Corlett is Co-Director of the Center on Health Insurance Reforms at Georgetown University. We want to hear from you. Are you currently looking for new health insurance in this pandemic? What obstacles have you run into? What advice are you looking for? And what is confusing out there? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Sabrina, oftentimes when people separate from work, we hear about COBRA. What do we know about the federal COBRA provision right now?
Yeah, sure. So COBRA is a policy that allows you to maintain your employer plan, but it's extremely expensive because you have to pay not only your portion of the premium, but also the employer's share. And right now, the average annual cost of health insurance for a family is over $20,000. So if you've lost your job and the income that comes with it, COBRA can be extremely expensive. But it does have some advantages. You get to keep the same providers. You don't have to have a deductible that resets. So there are certainly some advantages to it. But it is an option for folks who work for companies with more than 20 employees. And I think Wisconsin actually has a law that also applies it to small businesses.
Is that true, Bobby?
Yep. There is a Wisconsin conversion or a continuation and conversion for employers larger than two. So it backstops COBRA. A lot of companies follow COBRA anyway, just from, because the it's easier regulatorily. But one of the key takeaways with COBRA is that you have that 60-day period after you receive notice that you are losing your coverage from your employer. So sometimes the employer might lag a little bit, so it might take a week or two before they get that notice. Then the 60 days starts counting, so you can evaluate whether you're thinking about going into Badger Care Plus or the marketplace and test eligibility. You still have some time to think about COBRA then and executing a decision if you need to, because it might be an option that makes the most sense for you at that point.
Sabrina, how long can you stay in COBRA?
For most people, it's 18 months if you can afford it. The one cautionary note I would make is that if you do elect to sign up for COBRA and you start paying those premiums, but at a certain point you're no longer able to afford the premiums, you may not qualify for a special enrollment period to go into healthcare.gov or the marketplace if you're outside of that 60-day window that Bobby spoke about.
So that could be put you in a really difficult spot, Bobby. Have you heard about that situation where people have gone on COBRA and then realized, wow, this is way too much?
Yeah, unfortunately, and you have to think about it from through the lens of people that may have medical conditions or a family member that has a chronic condition or a special health care need that they need to maintain that continuity of coverage and services through that provider. So they're going to be really working to try and keep that insurance coverage. But at some point, you think it's going to last a few weeks or maybe a month and you can get back onto your regular insurance, but it takes longer. Then you have to evaluate it from an income perspective. But it does have a tendency to box you in a little bit and, being able to work through the marketplace. And if a tip is when you look at the marketplace and think about some of those plans, there may be health plans that are within the provider networks that you're working with. Even Badger Care Plus is developed around a managed care model. So
you may be able to find your family physician in one of these other options. Talking about the situation with healthcare and the pandemic, Bobby Peterson there, head of the Wisconsin nonprofit ABC for Health. We have Sabrina Corlett, research professor at the Center on Health Insurance Reforms at Georgetown University. And you with your questions, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about health care coverage as millions of Americans are out of work in the pandemic. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So more than 26 million Americans have lost their jobs in the five-week period ending April 18th. The potential severity of COVID-19 means that being uninsured could leave people at risk. Are you confused about what the options are for your health insurance? Bring your questions through the hour. It's 800-642-1234. We have Sabrina Corlett, a researcher with Georgetown University's Center on Health Insurance Reforms. Bobby Peterson here as well, executive director of ABC for Health based in Wisconsin, and they stay with us. Sabrina, the federal government previously said it did not plan to create an open enrollment period for Americans in response to COVID-19. Is that still the case with healthcare.gov?
Yes. So if you're currently uninsured in Wisconsin, there's no clear special enrollment opportunity for you through healthcare.gov unless you have another qualifying event. And that might be getting married or, moving into the state, that kind of thing. But there are other states that run their own marketplaces that have opened up special enrollments for people who are uninsured. But unfortunately, Wisconsin is reliant on the federal government for its marketplace.
Bobby, do you see that moving at all, changing at all?
Well, I hope it does. I mean, I think it would present some important opportunities for people. It would be clear, because it's confusing right now, and creating an open enrollment, but it's really the feds, that it's the federal government that has to do that, and Trump administration, would make things a bit simpler for folks. We can hope that people understand the plight that folks are going through and try and make it as simple as possible for people to secure coverage.
Bobby, is there a scenario where people lose their insurance, don't qualify for Badger Care Plus, don't qualify through healthcare.gov either? Can people fall through the cracks here?
Well, there's always, because of the complexity of healthcare, there's people that are going to potentially fall through the cracks. It could be because of immigration status. It could be because of other income that they're receiving that doesn't include health insurance. It's likely that they could get a marketplace plan. They might not be eligible for any subsidies if they're at a higher income level. But some people just get lost in the shuffle because, we call it a bit of an eligibility corn maze out there, trying to work your way through it, trying to understand Badger Care Plus, the marketplace, COBRA, the options that you have moving forward. It's difficult, especially if you're under stress and you're dealing with a family member that's ill or is facing, certain threats. So it just takes some patience, perseverance to reach out for some assistance from places like, Covering Wisconsin and others that, ABC for Health were available to help guide you through the process and help you help cut through some of the red tape that's in the path.
Sabrina, do you see potential pitfalls and difficulties with, as Bobby said, this corn maze, navigating this corn maze?
It's an absolutely spot on image because consumers really are forced to navigate what is just the most complicated patchwork quilt kind of system imaginable. The good news is there are folks like Bobby and his organization out there that can help walk people through it. But unfortunately, the Trump administration slashed the funding for programs such as Bobby's by 90% when the administration came into office in 2017. And so there aren't as many resources as there should be to help people right now.
Bobby, do you feel stretched thin with the resources you're providing people?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's not a process that you can just, quick throw up some posters and say, here you go, here's, what your eligibility option. We work with our partners, we try to get information out there. But, part of our process we call precision patient advocacy in a way because it's different for every person and even in the family sometimes. It's going to depend on your medical condition. It's going to depend on the household income based upon, your taxable income. It's going to depend on your immigration status, if you're a veteran. So, it gets very granular and detailed. But, I mean, the good news, despite the complexity, the good news is there are usually options for people. We can usually find something, even if it gets to the point where it's, you know, a free clinic or a federally qualified health center or maybe a hospital charity care program that's available. But it does take a bit of time and patience to work through the process and again, cut through the red tape and make sure we get to the right program at the right time.
We're talking with Bobby Peterson, who heads up ABC for Health. It's an organization that helps people navigate the healthcare system. Sabrina Corlett is here. She's a health policy researcher at Georgetown University. And you, did you receive a bill from testing or treatment that you're told would be covered? Were you billed for a phone triage you had with a nurse or a physician? How are you handling that? Join in with your questions about health coverage, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's take a call now. Chris is joining us from Adams this morning. Hi, Chris.
Hi, good morning. I'm a single retired adult. I'm also disabled. I don't use the healthcare system for very much. I am going to be turning 65 at the end of May, and I got a notice from the Social Security system that they're going to be deleting about a third of my income. I don't get very much money. I'm going to end up living in my car. This is like ridiculous. And so I am appealing that, and I'm wondering if I can get on Medicaid somehow so that I don't have to make payments, because I just simply can't afford to go to the doctor. That's crazy.
Bobby, could you field that Chris's situation there?
Yeah, I think it's probably important for you. Have you worked with Aging and Disability Resource Center up there in the Adams County area?
Okay.
That would be a good place to start because they can help you. Imagine the situation that you're in right now. Are you currently getting Medicare because of your disability?
Actually, that's a little bit complicated. I inherited a little bit of
it. Yes, but so I mean, one of the things is thinking about what your current coverage is. But as you're looking at your options moving forward and trying to allocate your income correctly, the Aging and Disability Resource Center up there should be able to help you identify income. There's other programs. Are you working at all?
No.
Okay. But they'd be a good place to check in, make sure you're getting the right coverage and services. But for people over age 60 and people with disabilities statewide across Wisconsin, it's the Aging and Disability Resource Center. They have disability advocates, and they have benefits specialists for folks that are over age 60 to help you navigate the system, understand your benefits and eligibility, and hopefully keep you in your home.
Chris, thanks for calling, and we'll have those resources at WPR.org/mornings here, and you can find a list of resources. So, Sabrina, as people look at coverage, there's a lot of acronyms, the HMOs, the PPOs. How should you assess these types of different healthcare deliveries? What should we know?
Yeah, sure. So the most common type of health plan, and if for people, particularly if you have employer coverage, is something called a PPO or a preferred provider organization. And that simply means that your health plan will have a network of doctors and hospitals that they contract with, but they also will cover some care if you go out of network. So if you have to see a specialist or some kind of provider that's not in your plan's network, the insurance company will pick up a portion, although not all, of that healthcare bill. If you have an HMO plan, that typically means that you don't have that out-of-network benefit, that you really should try to the best of your ability to stay within the plan's network. Otherwise, you're going to face higher cost sharing if you go outside the network.
Bobby, do you see any advantages or disadvantages there between choosing an HMO or a PPO?
Well, I mean, it's always going to be driven by your current sort of medical needs and services, how far away they are, accessibility. I think, you know, it's one of those decisions that you make based upon your family's medical needs and how can you get to the providers that you're choosing within those networks. Do they have do they have the specialists that you need? And so it's important to make sure that you look into the services and the networks that they are contracted with. And so that can become very important.
And you should really pay attention to whether your family physician or whether your specialist is covered by that particular insurance plan.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and as I said, as you're looking at things like, you know, healthcare.gov or even BadgerCare Plus, those are things you can look into as well for those types of programs.
We're spending the hour looking at health care insurance options for laid-off workers, for the uninsured, for underinsured Wisconsinites. We have two experts at our side, Bobby Peterson of ABC for Health. That's an organization connecting families with health care coverage. Sabrina Corlett is a research professor at Georgetown University's Center on Health Insurance Reforms. Have you been avoiding treatment or testing because you're afraid of the cost? Did you receive a bill for testing or treatment that you were told would be covered? Bring your questions, your insights at 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up, maybe hear from you right after this news update on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just a quick mention here that WPR continues to bring you coverage of the latest developments from our reporters covering around the state. We've centralized our news, our developments, our analysis on the coronavirus pandemic. It's all at WPR.org/COVID. Right now, we're spending the hour on health insurance coverage that protects patients from potentially catastrophic healthcare costs from severe cases of COVID-19. We're looking at coverage options for Wisconsinites who've lost job-based insurance. Has this happened to you? Are you suddenly looking for health insurance because you were laid off? Let's talk about next steps. Even if you're furloughed, have you lost your coverage? 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. We have two experts. Sabrina Corlett is a research professor at Georgetown's Center on Health Insurance Reforms. Bobby Peterson is executive director of ABC for Health. That's a Wisconsin nonprofit law firm assisting people with coverage, and they stay with us. So, Bobby, on February 1st, Wisconsin made a series of changes to BadgerCare Plus for childless adults, such as adding monthly premium payments and copays for ER visits. How may that affect the coronavirus relief funding coming to Wisconsin?
Well, I think Wisconsin is pursuant to the federal funding, they need to sort of eliminate some of those co-payments, part of the law, is my understanding. And so that's going to make it easier. Wisconsin had to make no changes after January 1st, and so that February 1st change had to be basically pulled back. And so that's happening, and I think it's going to make the process easier for folks in that situation to secure BadgerCare Plus coverage, and for the federal funding then to help support Wisconsin Medicaid program, which BadgerCare Plus is a part of.
Sabrina, we've seen some recent reports out of California's state insurance marketplace saying that premiums could jump as much as 40% next year. Is that a realistic forecast?
Well, hard to say. I don't know that anybody knows with a great deal of accuracy what costs are going to be associated with this virus. The California estimate is one, but other projections say that the cost could be lower, partly because so many elective procedures like hip replacements and other things that people had scheduled have been postponed. So those are costs that insurance companies are not incurring. And so it's hard to know at this point how this is all going to shake out. I suspect that over time it is going to result in an increase in premiums, maybe not 40%, but some increases in premiums because over time this pandemic is going to cost us one way or another.
Let's bring in a call now. Saeed is joining us from Green Bay this morning. Hi, Saeed.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just wondering if your guests know, first of all, the amount of federal aid that's being given to the state for support of health care. I've heard really large numbers like $2 billion is if that is the case, if they're aware on how that money is being put to support healthcare, because now with unemployment going so high, the number of eligible people for Badger Care is going to expand substantially. Badger Care is a poorly funded program to begin with, meaning that healthcare entities lose money taking care of those patients. So are some of those dollars going to go to support delivery systems?
Well, let's start with Bobby on that. Bobby, what does the federal aid look like that is coming into Wisconsin for healthcare?
Well, it touches a number of different elements, but it does support Wisconsin's share of the Medicaid budget. So it's increasing the federal share, which reduces the Wisconsin share of Medicaid, which, you know, even a few percentage point make is, you know, millions and millions of dollars. So it's going to better support Medicaid. It's going to include Badger Care Plus, and it's, you know, it's an important funding source for folks that don't have another option. And I think, you know, we want to try and identify coverage for people. And as the caller identified, you know, with the pandemic, there's going to be increased use of Badger Care Plus. But in some ways, it's better, you know, to use Badger Care Plus than to have, you know, to go to an emergency room without any coverage at all, or, you know, completely uninsured. Wisconsin hospitals provided about $1.2 billion in uncompensated care, including charity care and bad debt in 2019. That's a lot of money that, you know, ultimately there isn't a place for the hospitals to bill for. By identifying coverage, even if it's, you know, at a lower reimbursement rate, perhaps like Badger Care Plus or Medicaid, it's better than zero. So it helps the overall situation. Hospitals are getting other resources to help them support their service delivery as well. But identifying that coverage source for folks is really important, and it helps the overall process.
Sabrina, do you want to piggyback off of that, of what Saeed was asking there about federal funding flowing into states and what it's used for?
Sure. As folks might know, there's now been four separate bills to provide relief during this crisis, all trying to get money out the door to help various sectors of society. One additional form of funding is something called the Provider Relief Fund. And I think now we're up to about $175 billion for that fund. I'm not sure how much providers in Wisconsin will receive of that money, but the idea is to help compensate providers, not just for treating the uninsured, but because so many hospitals are suffering right now because of the cancellation or postponement of elective procedures. They're actually struggling financially. So those funds are designed to help hospitals and other providers in light of the epidemic.
Is it enough funding? Will it work? Do you see that these dollars are being used appropriately right now to prop up the system?
Well, it's too early to say. Okay. The first set of money went out, I would say a couple of weeks ago now, about $30 billion went out. And one concern was that it went primarily to hospitals that take care of a lot of Medicare patients, and not enough to hospitals that treat a lot of uninsured or Medicaid or Badger Care patients. So a second round of money has gone out, targeted more towards those hospitals that do treat lower income populations, as well as rural hospitals. But it's too early to say whether that money is going to be distributed equitably and how it's going to be used.
Sabrina Corlett is here, research professor at Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. We're also talking with Bobby Peterson, executive director of ABC for Health. You can join in. What kinds of conversations have you been having about health insurance and what to do in the event that you do need treatment for COVID-19? Do you trust you'll be covered? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We heard from Mary in Madison, called in, couldn't stay with us, and Mary is wondering if Social Security benefits will be reduced over time and is wondering how the healthcare situation could impact Social Security. Bobby, is that something you might be able to tackle?
Well, I hope not. I mean, I think that, you know, the long-term forecast for Social Security has always been of concern, but there's no plans at this point. And at this point, people in Social Security are getting some additions at some point to their payments. I think that, you know, if this pandemic shows anything, is that everyone needs, you know, a source of healthcare coverage. We need to be prepared. I mean, this is not something that is going to go away quickly. Unfortunately, it looks like it might be here for a bit, and there might be additional waves. I think, you know, that Mary's concern about the long-term future of her Social Security is a valid one, I think, but it's just important that people get out and make sure they speak up to their elected officials, how important it is for their income, for their health care, and, you know, that's good for the overall society.
Sabrina, for people who do have insurance and need COVID-19 testing or treatment, how can they determine what is covered right now and what sort of out-of-pocket charges that they could incur?
Well, the first advice I would give is to call your insurance company and ask, and also to make sure that when you seek treatment, that you're trying to do it with an in-network provider. But that said, insurance companies are supposed to cover the full cost of testing and waive any cost sharing associated with that. And some companies have voluntarily said that they will cover the full cost of any treatment. But check with your insurance provider first.
Bobby, we're seeing telemedicine, telehealth ramp up very quickly. Some policymakers and insurers are saying they're eliminating copayments and deductibles, but some people are still seeing bills for this type of treatment. What do you know there?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's evolving so rapidly. Everybody knew that, you know, telehealth, telemedicine was going to be, you know, the next wave. They just didn't expect it to come this quickly. So there's a lot of rough spots. I think, you know, following up with your insurance provider to make sure that, you know, the coverage is correct, contacting your provider. I mean, for generally, I think a lot of plans are providing some coverage for telehealth and telemedicine. Some providers are billing in advance. And so, I mean, it's just part of the kinks in the system. You know, medicine is moving quickly in a direction towards telehealth that's available. It's safer in some ways for some people not to have to go in for services that can be evaluated, you know, over the phone or over Skype or Zoom or something like that. So there's definitely going to be some rough patches, but following up, checking on the billing and making sure it's correct. Just don't accept the bill without asking a few questions.
We have Bobby Peterson, who heads up ABC for Health. It's a Wisconsin nonprofit law firm helping families gain coverage. Sabrina Corlett is here, a research professor at Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. Do you feel confused about the health plan options you're faced with right now? Is a family or friend losing coverage? What do you want to know about how to help them? Still time to talk at 800-642-1234. We'll get back to this in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for joining us. So maintaining health insurance through COBRA is a possibility after separating from a company, but more affordable healthcare options, as we've learned, may be available on the healthcare marketplaces. And although open enrollment is closed, anyone who loses a job with health insurance is automatically eligible for a special enrollment period through healthcare.gov. Some of the takeaways, still time for your questions about coverage during this difficult time. We're at 800-642-1234. We have two health coverage experts. Bobby Thompson is here with ABC for Health in Wisconsin and Sabrina Corlett at Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. So, Sabrina, the Commonwealth Fund, that's an organization that promotes healthcare systems, it writes that the pandemic will place added pressure on states that haven't yet expanded Medicaid and may encourage them to move forward with expansion. How might you see that playing out?
Sure. Well, there's nothing like a pandemic to make people recognize the importance of having some kind of safety net. And unfortunately, in states that have not expanded Medicaid for folks who are lower income, there really is no such safety net. And of course, the burden there falls often to providers, hospitals and doctors and others who have to treat these folks who need care, particularly for folks who might get sick from COVID-19. So I think the hope is, and I hope the Commonwealth Fund is correct, that state leaders in these states will recognize that that expanding Medicaid not only makes sense for fiscal reasons and for good policy reasons, but actually is an important public health protection.
Bobby, what gaps do you see in Wisconsin's healthcare system as that has been exposed through this pandemic?
And I think there's a lot of knowledge gaps out there just because it is so complicated. You know, the Wisconsin Medicaid expansion that could have really helped so much, both from helping to streamline the system a bit more. I mean, eliminate some of the cord maze effect where kids are in one program, parents are in another program. We could have made it a lot more simple for people, but also came with revenue from the federal government that could have supported not only the delivery of healthcare services, but healthcare infrastructure in the state. So it was a real lost opportunity, and I think it's something that needs to be seriously examined in Wisconsin. We should be looking at expanding and simplifying Medicaid for people. People shouldn't have to go through the effort that they do right now just to try and get healthcare coverage for themselves and family members. So I'm really thinking it's a great opportunity to take a look at that again. There's been a lot of resistance, unfortunately, and it's mostly ideological. But you know, right now, I think it's a moral issue that we need to get coverage to people as quickly and as simply as possible.
Sabrina, as you watch this pandemic, you're a researcher and you're seeing hospitals and health systems completely taxed. Where does your research go from here?
Well, we're going to be thinking about what are the long-term lessons that policymakers and providers and health insurance companies, what lessons can we all draw from this once we're on the other side of it, and hopefully that will come sooner rather than later. But this virus is exposing some of the real gaps and complexities in our healthcare system. And to Bobby's point, we'll be looking to research and study ways to make this an easier process for consumers, to make transitions to coverage more smooth and seamless. And at the end of the day, I'm hopeful that policymakers who have been resistant to coverage expansion will recognize that, you know, this is not about government handouts. This is really about protecting the public health and making sure that people who need care don't delay it or not get it because of concerns due to cost, because that not only hurts them, it hurts anybody they come in contact with.
Bobby, in the last few seconds we have with you, have you seen an increase in call volume at all at your organization?
Yeah, it started off a little bit slow, but it's definitely picking up, and people are concerned. They need coverage, you know, and we need to do everything we can to try and help them get through this process in the system, and know that there's help out there and that their options are available for them and their families to get the care and coverage that they need and deserve.
So you're definitely finding that people have lots of questions right now, and that you're just kind of trying to meet that surge.
Absolutely. You know, and it's a case-by-case basis. As I said, every situation is a little different, but, you know, we can try and help them navigate those systems, get the services that they need, and hopefully, you know, transition, because that's one of the hardest things is transitioning between these different coverage silos that exist out there. And that's where people fall off coverage and end up as, you know, without as being uninsured, but maybe they don't need to be.
Well, thank you both for joining us.
You're welcome.
You.
Sabrina Corlett is a research professor at Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. Bobby Peterson, executive director of ABC for Health, a nonprofit law firm in Wisconsin. For more information on COVID-19 and health insurance, you can visit coveringwi.org. Coveringwi.org. You can also find that link and other resources at wpr.org/mornings. WPR and Wisconsin Watch are documenting the lives of Wisconsinites in this unprecedented time with a new series of audio diaries. It's called Outbreak Wisconsin. With record numbers of people unemployed nationwide, the service industry has been hit particularly hard. Madison bartender Amy Moreland has been out of work since mid-March. It's affected her finances and also her mental health.
So my day-to-day life before coronavirus was I was actually just like in a very like a good place, I guess is what I would say. I was thriving. I had quit my job at the bar that I worked at for a very long time. I had quit drinking. I had gotten a new job bartending, but also that came with like a little bit more responsibility. So it was giving me a greater sense of purpose. I was really happy. I was in a really good spot in my life. Like I said, I was thriving. And now I was so living so tightly before that I didn't have a lot of money to, you know, play around with. I think I had about $1,000 in my savings account, which was really hard to get to at that point, like making as little as I did. But it was like what I scrimped and saved. And I was really excited about I've never, you know, like working in restaurants and bars, I've never had a 401k. So I'm getting to the point at 38 that I've realized that I need to have something like that. And the only way I was going to get it is if I made it for myself. So I started to save this money like really diligently, and I started to make these moves, and it's all gone in the last couple weeks because I don't have any income coming in. I did apply for unemployment. So I get $100 a week to live on through unemployment, which is, you know, whatever. I'm happy they're giving me anything, but it's, I mean, the little money that I was making was not $100 a week. My rent is $1,000 a month. So I've honestly, you know, spent a lot of time on the computer, on Facebook, on doing things that, you know, are not good for me. Not eating particularly well when I, you know, not eating for a long time. And then when I do, just eating something terrible, like zebra cakes or, you know, half a pizza. And I mean, 1 month ago, I was going to the gym every single day. And like seeing like a trainer and like being on a schedule and entering like being on a really great diet and everything. And now it's like if I can make myself go outside and take a walk around the block, like it's not a good place to be, I guess, is where it is. And what I'm scared of the most now is that I'm not going to be able to get back to the place that I was. I'm scared that this is going to be the new normal. I'm scared about politics, that we're going to start hating our neighbors even more than we already do, like this terrible divide. I'm afraid nothing is ever going to go back to normal, and at the same time, I'm afraid everything is going to go back to exactly the same. And what do I think will be different when this is over? I mean, I think that's part of the scary thing is I don't know what it's the unknown.
And you're listening to the Ideas Network.